Good morning again, everybody. Can you hear me? For those who don't know Hutterites, we have a little bit of an accent, so you bear with us. We have a unique accent. I'm always being told that I have a unique accent. I don't know what unique means, but so bear with me or with us. So bottom line is we love the Lord, we're saved, so that makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the good thing. We can all identify in the one thing, and that's the resurrected body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has saved us to the uttermost by one and one word thing only. I want him to put up this scripture. Is by this reason only that in Acts 2:20, I'm not going to go into the full extent of that scripture, but there's two things that I want to focus on today. It says, that's about in the last days, that the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. This is where my catch is. Before that great and notable day of the Lord, before it's coming. It's a notable day. Everybody's going to know it's going to come. It's not going to be a surprise. There is a surprise one coming, but that's not this it. This is not it. This is at the end of the tribulation. And then guess what the scripture is, the next verse is. Very simple. That whosoever, who is that? Anybody and everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. What are the conditions to this? Any conditions to this? No, there isn't. There is no condition. And this is, you will see why I'm hampering or focusing on this scripture, because I want to clarify a scripture which I, for years, had issues with, even though, for all intents and purposes, I knew it meant also that. Remember, the scripture is deep. There's a shallow meaning for scripture, but then as you grow in the Lord, there's deeper and deeper meanings to scripture. You'll find that, yeah, it does mean that also, but it means something deeper also. It's like a well. You can always go there and find freshness. That's what's so unique about Scripture, is the ability it has through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring life to this message. And that's what I'm going to try to bring out in my message today. It's sort of a continuation from last week, except I'm going to call it leading up to the Great Tribulation. What's going to happen? And before we get into this, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace, Lord Jesus, that you have given us the freedom to come together like this. Lord Jesus, you will allow your freedom. And Lord Jesus, not in a way that is overwhelming to people, but that is gentle, that is calling, and that just draws them to you, Lord Jesus. You're not a butcher that drives sheep. You're a shepherd that leads sheep. And you will allow this gentleness to be here, that people may understand that your spirit is such a gentle thing and a thing that you want to be in a relationship with. So, Father, impress this upon every heart here. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name, I pray. You may be seated. So I'm going to go, first of all, into Mark's account. I'm going to try to get through this quickly because I'm going through two different accounts, Mark's and Matthew's. Luke's is a little bit different, even though it's very similar. So starting with Mark, the first verse there in chapter, what do I have here? Sort of Mark 13, 3-9, starting there. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And remember the question, they just asked, bragged about the temple, how beautiful it was, and Jesus had told them, well, it's going to be ripped down, every stone is going to be overturned. And then they asked them, well, when will these signs, end of your coming? So there's two questions they asked, end of your coming. I think Luke puts it that way. And also Matthew. So then Jesus answers two questions. First of all, the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened 70 AD. So that is part of this. So let's go into this. He starts by telling them, and Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Number one, don't let anybody deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. But when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not yet be. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in different places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Have we seen any of those? I think we can all agree we've seen lots of those, and intensify also. And then it says, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the council. And now he's talking directly to the disciples. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils in the synagogues. You shall be beaten. And you can read that in Acts, how they were beaten. And you shall be brought before, as set upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple. Hang on, I'm missing something. And you shall be brought before, as he said, set upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple. What am I missing here? But take heed to yourselves. I must have missed it here. But whatever, I'll continue there. So tell us when these things shall be. I definitely did something wrong here. But we'll live. And then Peter, James, and okay, they came here. Sorry for repeating myself here. So let's go down to, for nation shall rise against nation. Okay, I'm there already. So, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. In other words, don't premeditate anything. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. Neither do you premeditate, and whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that you speak. So you won't have to go after that. Oh, I should have said that. Should have said this. I don't know why I didn't say that. You won't have to. The Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need to say. And this is true for now too. When you witness to somebody, have a little bit of an argument or whatever, say what the Lord lays on your heart. You don't need to say more or less. Whatever came is what you should have said. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. And then we'll continue on what's going to happen. Now, excuse me. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father the son. Children shall rise against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And here's my catch, this verse here, the next one. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Remember how I started out this service? It says, all they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does this talk about salvation here? In context, no, it doesn't. But again, like I said before, scripture is deep. It could mean that too. But I think it means the rapture, because I'll continue this. And you shall be, first of all, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Why are they hated? They are believers. Because of Christ, they hate you. But then he puts this in, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that will hang on, don't get drawn away by these world's pleasures. Remember, the Bible over and over says that we should be ready. You do not know the day or the hour. Here he's telling us to endure till that day. Because after that, then he says, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to, what is this? He's the Antichrist making a pact with Israel, the start of the seven-year tribulation. But before that, he says, he that shall endure to that end, to that beginning or the end of that era will be saved. So is there a certain a group of people that will be raptured? Yes, absolutely. The Bible is very clear on that, who's going to be raptured. It is those that wait for him and are ready for his return. You are anticipating the Lord's return. You are actually living. It says, be not drunken with the drunkards. Do not live. He warns us over and over again not to be caught up in the things of this world. Watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. So here he says, that you shall be hated of all my name's sake, for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You shall be saved from the hour of horror that is to come. Here is Matthew's account now. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, from the temple, and his disciples came to him. Well, here he goes into detail about the temple. They go into detail for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left there one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." That happened 70 AD. That came to pass then. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming?" Leaving it open, he didn't say second, of his coming, and of the end of the world. So two things, two events. "For many shall come in my name," and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came on. I'm confused here with this one. "And what shall the sign of that coming and the end of the world be? And many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And yet he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Again, he's very close to what Mark is saying here. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." This we see evident already. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Who preaches the gospel? Who finishes off that job? Not the church. The job is finished by two witnesses, 144,000, and an angel flying around preaching the everlasting gospel. That's who actually fulfills this. That's during the tribulation. But here again, in verse 15, he says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," that's the Antichrist, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. He has already done something nobody has ever done. He gets to the side of the Jews, and he makes peace with them, a peace treaty, which is the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, which is called the 70 weeks of Daniel, which are missing from Jewish history, where God takes his attention off the church and puts it back to the Jews and saints. Not again after that is the church mentioned again. It is because the marriage of the supper of the Lamb is happening, and the 7-year, the most horrible time this planet will ever see, has ever seen and will ever see, is taking place here on this planet. Will there be believers? Absolutely. But you do not want to be part of this. You want to be part of the ones that get saved, that endure to the end. And remember, your salvation is hinged on you calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what saves your soul. But there's a different salvation, a salvation where God saves us from this wrath to come. That hinges on us. If you do not believe that this is going to happen, you might get your portion with the hypocrite. Not hell, portion with the hypocrite, and that is hell on earth. So, what is our purpose then? What are we supposed to do? Number one, preach the gospel. Tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Have a relationship with him so we are, there's a scripture that we are worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass. And there is an escape coming for us, and it's going to be glorious, and we are waiting for this. We could see some very interesting times, but we still do have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to do what we need to do, and it'll be here till it is drawn or removed. And then shall the wicked one be revealed. And that is the conclusion of my message. I hope that I have awakened the hearts of people, especially on YouTube, anybody who listens, that we have an obligation as believers, and that is to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't add stuff to it. Don't add your loss to that. Let it stay free, like the thief on the cross. He didn't do nothing. He didn't There was nothing attached to him. He was naked, lying there in complete helplessness. It's quite ironic that Jesus used the thief on the cross for the first man to save. And you know what? It hasn't changed. It is still, that's how we have to come. Completely nude, as far as having nothing to brag. We have nothing. This is what we have to offer. Humbling ourselves, and he does the saving. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Hallelujah. I like James' message. Warning. Those that look for his appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. I will now show you where we're going. Hallelujah. Once the rapture hits. But before that, God laid on my heart a scripture that I need to share with you. Maybe for those on the internet, somebody needs to hear this, because I felt it very strongly. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Understanding being darkened, watch the politicians. Their understanding is dark. They have no idea what you're talking about. They don't even want to try to be godly and have morals. Who are past feeling and have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all cleanness and greediness. They're greedy, they're full of uncleanness, they're living for the devil. Simply, that's it. Then it goes on to say, you have not so heard of Christ, if so be that you heard him. The question he puts there, have you heard from God, if you live like that, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus? Has God opened your mind and heart to the truth, or are you trying to somehow do it by yourself, getting to know God slowly, slowly? No, the question here is, if you live like that, and you mention Jesus, like a lot of them do. They mention God, they've been baptized, they take communion, but you have not so heard. But if so be that you have heard him, it says, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So he's questioning somebody's salvation who is calling upon God, if he lives like a pig. Short and sweet, I'll give it to you, barn language. If you live for the devil, you may have not heard from God, regardless how often you call yourself a Christian. And then he goes on to say, in Luke 21:36, watch for the rapture. Watch you therefore, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So there's double warnings here. For those who think they're saved and for those who are, watch you, pray. Make sure you're looking for this Christ. Make sure you're not living like the world. And sometimes when you look at what's happening in churches today, when you study it on YouTube, you go like this. I don't know if they're looking for Christ. They're not looking for the imminent appearing of our Jesus. They couldn't be with the way they operate. It's impossible. So, are we ready? Those of you watching through the internet, are you looking for Jesus to come back? And the big question is, are you really born again? That's the most important one. You go through the tribulation, you still have a chance. You still have a good chance of going to heaven. Many, many, many billions will go to heaven that come from the tribulation. But once you're in hell, it's over for the rest of eternity. The tribulation is going to be a kindergarten's picnic compared to the eternal lake of fire. I kid you not. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the good part. Revelation chapter 4. There's John after God has finished talking to him about the churches. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Where is John going? Up. Where? Where God is. Hallelujah. Come up hither, and I will show things that must be hereafter. Hereafter what? After the church age, once the church is finished, he'll show us what will happen afterwards. Guys, read it. Your hair will stand up. You will not believe the horror that God pours out on this planet. But it's true. It's written. It's going to happen. And immediately I was in the spirit, and before the throne was set, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. There's something very interesting about the throne. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, listen carefully to this one. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Remember now. A sea of glass, a wide open expanse, as far as the eye could see, a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were who? Four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Interesting. It's kind of empty, isn't it? Around the throne. And the sea of glass. This is what I like. And Revelation chapter 5. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and there are seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who did that? The Lamb of God. For those who are preaching, there's no such thing as the Trinity. Take a look at the scripture. He takes a scroll out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So there's the Father, Son. Where's the Holy Spirit? Oh, he'll show up pretty soon, don't worry. He's not going to miss the party. Hallelujah. And when I hear people preaching, they don't believe in the Trinity. It's just Jesus. Well, who's the helper that God, that Jesus sent? Who is he? It's the Holy Spirit. His Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't try to figure him out. I did for the last 40 years. Still haven't got it. But I'll get it someday. Hallelujah. So, listen. And Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Here's what happens to the sea of glass. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. Before there were just the beasts and the 24 elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. All of a sudden, that sea of glass filled up with millions of people. At the end of the tribulation, it gives another number which cannot be numbered. So during the tribulation, there's going to be a bigger harvest than before the tribulation. That's where the wheat harvest comes in, the big one. And let me tell you, John couldn't give a number. He just said there's so many, no man could number them. Here he gives a number. Try and figure it out. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So it must be about 2 billion people here, maybe 3, but it's going to be a large number. It says angels. We'll find out who those angels are. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. When you go to, when you study the book of Revelation, John always sees an angel, and God shows him something. And he falls down to worship the angel that shows him. Ever read that in the book of Revelation? And he says, stop worshiping me, I'm of your brethren. Interesting, right? During the tribulation, I'm of your brethren. I'm the same as you. Study it, and you'll see that Scripture speaks to Scripture. And that's how you have to read the Word of God. It's not just some book that somebody has written. It's a book that the Holy Spirit has written. And you can't figure it out in one reading. I want to tell you that. And here is what those millions or billions of people are singing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, who was slain? Our Lord, hallelujah. He was slain, and let me tell you, and you have what? Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Hallelujah. These are the angels, so-called angels, that are singing around the throne on the sea that was on the sea of glass that was empty, that is now filled to the brim. Hallelujah. We're going to experience that. When will you experience that? It says, you never know. It could be today. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Before I leave this room, the question is, everybody listening on the internet, are you ready? Are we all ready here? Let me tell you, I'm ready. I'm ready for Jesus to come back now. Actually, I would love him to come back right now, the way I feel. Hallelujah. And what did God make us? I love this. He has made us unto our God kings, that's rulers of what? Cities, towns, planets, maybe universes. It's pretty big out there. So says the Hubble. Hallelujah. They haven't reached the end. They haven't seen the end of the space that God created. And it's still growing. Hallelujah. He has made us unto our God, unto us God's kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. While we're on the earth here, which is going to be another 1,000 years after the tribulation, we're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to be ministering. If you think you're a minister now, you're going to be one during the 1,000-year period. And it's not going to be a wish you would believe what I'm telling you. No, I'll say to him, tap him on the back, let's go. We got a trip to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to take care of your problem. I'm just one of his priests. And you are going to answer to him whether you believe what I say or not. Hallelujah. That's our destiny. And it's not finished there. It goes on for eons of billions of eternities. You'll never see the end. Kings, priests, healthy bodies that'll stand up to anything, never being sick. Oh, hallelujah. That's going to be great. The food is going to taste fantastic. Who likes to eat? Hallelujah. Who likes to drink? Hallelujah. The wine, you can't beat that stuff. I tell you, how do I know? I used to make a lot of wine, but I haven't reached the wine. I turned water into wine, but I have never made wine like Jesus did. Just say, fill those jugs here with water, and voila, they drank. And they had the wine. That was must have been great. Anyway, this is what's waiting for us. And we better be ready. Young kids especially. Stay off the internet when it comes to pornography. And there's even worse stuff than that sometimes. You need to give your heart to Christ. Regardless what you do in your work. Don't let it become your God. Don't let your sports become your God. Don't allow it. Tear it from your heart if you can't master it, because you'll have to get rid of it one of these days anyway. So let the Lord open your heart to this and bless you.
The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? The family is preparing for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Land of sorrow, for the ceremony in the air, the
water then will lead us through that holy land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to be there? Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration.